podcast. It is the week of Sunday, October 11th. And, yeah, it's episode 7. And the big reveal in episode 7 is that it was a boat god all along. Brad Iyer here as your host, as normal. Dan Ford and Brian Rose are also here. And, video games.
Yep, video games.
What's going on with those? But yeah, so it's part 2 of our... I was going to say video games spectacular, but that's so overdone.
I think the first one was like Video Game Mania, or something like that.
Think of a name, Dan.
Game Fest.
Welcome to Super Pro Game Fest 2000. A lot of people coming down to see the videos of the... Anyway, so yeah, we're going to talk about the 3D games. So N64 and PlayStation, with the exception of... We're going to keep the SmackDown games in one kind of thing, just because they're kind of all the same.
Yeah.
And I think it would be a good way to review... We'll talk about those games when we review 2K16. So now we'll kind of talk about both. We're going to do it a little bit differently. I know last time we did it chronologically, but just kind of keep a flow going. We're going to go by promotion, because there's not really many unlicensed... games at around this time, you know, it wasn't as easy to make a game, so you had to get a big license and someone throwing you money. But that doesn't mean there's not bad games. Oh, no. We're going to talk about those. But yeah, so I think we'll just kind of run down the list of kind of each one. We're going to keep the Aki games kind of to the end, so I can argue with Dan and Brian about why they're wrong, and we'll go from there. So yeah, let's kind of start with kind of a theme. Like, so with you guys, so Brian, were you a kind of a PlayStation guy or an N64 one? What did you play back then?
I was exclusively a Nintendo 64 guy because I remember, like, in the fall of 1986, I was given a choice. I could even have a Nintendo 64 for my birthday or a PlayStation. And I was about to get PlayStation, but then my mom just said, you know what, I'm tired of you waiting for you, so we're going to get you a Nintendo 64. So she got me a Nintendo 64. And for many years, I wasn't even into the WWF or WCW. I wasn't even a wrestling fan until, like, 2000. So eventually, I did get to play games like Warzone and No Mercy and all that, but it was much, much later than after they came out.
Yeah, so, I think you had a PlayStation, didn't you, Dan?
I was a PlayStation kid. My first system was a Nintendo, because I was too old to be playing a Nintendo, but it was, like, my first game system. I couldn't break it. I wasn't in the age range where the Nintendo should have been mine, but, you know, I think my parents made a smart move there, because a three-year-old can break anything. And I broke it, eventually. And, So I was used to playing on the Nintendo and then the Super Nintendo. And when it came time to get a PlayStation or a N64, I was like, oh, which am I going to get? Went to the store to test them to, try. And the Nintendo 64 controller was so huge.
It was.
That my little boy hands, I was a little boy dreaming of being a big boy, quote, unquote, Scott Aukerman. I was dreaming of being a big boy. And I could not hold that controller in my hand. And when I tried a PlayStation, it was like, oh, this is the same as my Super Nintendo. This is what I want. And so I ended up a PlayStation kid and was doomed to have bad wrestling games forever.
But good other games, unlike the N64, which had
I don't even know if that's true.
Well, the PlayStation had a much better, like, overall gaming library than the N64.
I don't agree with that at all.
You're crazy, Kristen.
There's a famous writer, I guess not that famous, named John Boyes, and he has written before that this was the worst era of video games ever. Because it was at the point where nobody wanted to play a 2D side-scrolling game ever again. Those were just dead. But the consoles weren't really that great at doing 3D yet. So everything just looks like that.
It's certainly a time when it doesn't hold up as well. I wouldn't say it was necessarily bad, but going back to them, it's a lot harder. And that's kind of one of the things people were able to, didn't expect as much. And because if you look at some of the games, especially some of the WCW games that we'll talk about, they're not great. But, like, could you imagine if a game like that came out before or after? Like, it wouldn't happen. It's just, but people with new 3D and kind of the way the systems work, they were able to kind of accept that a little bit more. At least I think. At least I did.
Yeah, at the time, you were just so happy to have something in 3D that it didn't matter that it, you know, people's arms didn't connect to their bodies. Like, people were just happy that, oh my god, you know, this is a huge step forward, even though it objectively looks like butt.
Yeah, people liked the idea of 3D, and they thought 3D was like the future and everything, so that's probably why it appeals to so many people, but... PlayStation couldn't do it that well. Nintendo 64 was a little bit better, but not really. And it just resulted in kind of ugly games looking back.
I feel like the Nintendo 64 had a little bit better track record at making, like, original games that people remember and they'll go back and replay even though the graphics don't look that great. And I don't think the PlayStation has games like that.
I think there's a ton, though. Like, all the Final Fantasy games, I've been playing Suikoden, and that's a really great series.
That's just a whole genre of games, I'm not...
I mean, true, games, yeah.
Well, then that's why you're wrong.
I'm just not giving it credit. Yeah, you're right. I'm not... I should... you know, those games didn't mean a lot to me, and I'm speaking aggressively without sense. But I know people do love to go back and play Zelda games.
Yeah,
you know, and they love to play the Mario games, and they love the Mario Kart, and they love the this and the that and the GoldenEye with the guns and the boom, boom, boom. So, and they love a certain game we'll talk about later, No Mercy. But I don't feel like the PlayStation has as many of those. But again, yeah, Final Fantasy, it was a great, apparently. But when it comes to wrestling, no.
I agree on that.
we have the one series of we have the one game that we're not going to talk about today. So that's all we got for PlayStation.
Yeah, SmackDown 2 and WCW versus the World was okay. And Mayhem. I like Mayhem. And we'll get to that.
PlayStation Kids Mayhem was awesome because we didn't know what we were missing. So we'll get to that.
But you know what was popular? WCW. Like WCW. Way, way more. I didn't watch a lot of Raw at the time. But
you couldn't have it. It was terrible.
Yes.
It was fun.
Yeah. Like, what year are we talking about? Like, 96?
95, 96.
Yeah, that wasn't that good. No.
WCW wasn't that great. I mean,
95 WCW was great. I will have an argument about this one, but maybe.
Nitro still looked way, way better than Raw, though.
Yes. Even before
production
Nitro.
Values.
Even before the Nitro era started, Saturday Night was a more enjoyable show to watch than Raw.
Oh, well, I agree with you on that. I'm saying Hogan was a problem, much like he was.
It's true. But he also wasn't King Mabel.
No, he
wasn't.
Wasn't King
Mabel.
Oh, man.
So yeah, there's a lot of WCW games for the PlayStation. There's a lot of wrestling games for the PlayStation and the N64. The first one, like I said, is WCW vs. the World, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's talk about WCW Nitro. So that came out in 1997, and on the like peak of WCW, Sting is bigger than Sting. Hogan's there. So, THQ, Toy Headquarters, for anyone who wants to know, released WCW in 1997. So I played WCW Nitro when it came out. But I know I forced you guys to play this. was this your first time playing it, Brian?
Yes.
All right. Let me know what you think.
Well, I did not know how to play it. I couldn't figure out how to play it.
Which version did you play?
I played the N64 version.
Okay. Now, before we kind of go on, there was two games that came out for it. WCW Nitro, well, for this the game gaming system. WCW Nitro came out first in 1997, and then Thunder came out in 1998. Those were both original PlayStation games, and then after WCW Thunder, they released a version of Thunder, which took over some of the parts that made Thunder the perfect WCW game. I'll explain why later. As WCW Nitro. So the version that you play is the sequel Thunder, and at least in its roster and in gameplay. But you didn't get the amazing rant to get to. But yeah, so as a someone playing a WCW Nitro game, a game that was hated at the time, even playing it in 2016.
They released it again with just a different name. That was what killed me.
And the same codes and everything work on it too. Yeah. Like it's plastered on.
It's literally just the same game with a different paint and a few different characters.
Wow. That's crazy.
So you couldn't figure it out, Brian? Not even...
No, I mean, I played a little bit of it, and it graphically it looked pretty good. I think it was like one of the better looking WCW games during that era, but I tried playing it, and I just couldn't like figure out how to play. I mean, is it kind of like Warzone, and like you have to input stuff, or... Or how do you play it?
Basically, the way WCW Metro and Thunder are really, really odd games gameplay-wise. So they're essentially 2D. They're essentially 2D games that have a 2D movement system. Screens like a Tekken or a 3D fighter. So you have your forward and backwards. You're always facing your opponents, and then you have your you can move it around your opponents and do moves. Yeah, the moves are like WF Warzone, things like that, where they're button combinations.
Okay.
And, yeah, so you'd have to do moves a certain way, and each wrestler has certain moves.
I wonder if these games might have been based on the Super Brawl game that came out on the Super Nintendo, because there's weird similarities between them.
I don't know if they're made by the same developer, though.
Yeah, the developer of Super Brawl went out of business making that game. That's why nobody remembers it or ever saw advertisements for it, because the developer was out of business. But there's these weird similarities in that Super Brawl and Nitro Thunder, all the characters had the same moves besides their finisher and maybe one signature move. But they all do the same moves, except the little guys have a hurricanrana and the big guys have a body press.
Yes.
But otherwise, all the moves are the same, except for your finisher, which was like Super Brawl. And the whole, what did you call them? The title screen? The game select? The player select?
Character select.
The taunts?
The taunts.
Oh, the taunts.
Yeah, where they do like the little mini move. That was what Super Brawl invented. So it felt like... It felt like somebody going, let's make Super Brawl again, only on a PlayStation, which is a very strange move.
Yeah. But, the thing I remember most about Nitro and Thunder are the taunts, because I've seen those plenty of times, and they're really something.
They're like the greatest thing in the game, and what's funny about them is, I never looked into it, but I don't know how or what... the background of them filming those were. Do they like just go get a green screen at like at a Nitro tape and you just tell them to do stuff?
That's what I assumed.
Like no one cares. Like even people who are normally have like decent charisma, you know, like Eddie Guerrero and things like that, just sound like they don't give a shit.
Eddie, I don't know if Eddie had his charisma transplant by this point.
Like who knows? But like even like they're just talking. It's like, I love, like, Alex Wright is just like, he's like, hello, it's Alex Wright, the German. Like,
Hulk Hogan does just do his Hogan thing.
Yeah, Kevin Nash wanted to pick somebody else.
In the second game, Kevin Nash just he rambles incoherently and just says to pick someone else, which is.
Sounds like Kevin Nash.
And he sounds high. Like, he's just so sedate. He's like, listen. My soma's just kicked in. I don't have time for this shit. Go pick somebody else.
In the first Nitro rant, like, these are all on YouTube, by the way, so if you haven't seen them, pause and go on them. Alright, we'll give you a second. You back? Okay, cool.
Yeah, if you just search these games, this is the only thing that comes up.
In the first, like, the two Kevin Nash, like, the Kevin Nash ones are the best ones, because in the first one, it ends with him, like, having a convulsion or something, and then the other one ends with him saying to pick someone else, and it's even referenced, like, like, I don't know if Roddy Piper was before Kevin Nash or after Kevin Nash. He just references that other man. So I'm assuming they're all just, I just see them all in a line just kind of smoking and drinking and waiting to get those comments filmed.
I feel like they probably wouldn't have put Piper and Nash in the same room. But, yeah, I think Piper might have just had an obsession at that point.
How did he know? How did he know?
Oh, man.
Answer me that.
Yes. My experience with these games when they came out was Thunder was on a PlayStation demo at the Walmart near my house, and I would go to the Walmart shopping with my parents and leave them for the video game section and play this on that demo. And the only two players were Goldberg and Hogan, so you take turns picking either Goldberg or Hogan and then play the game that way, and that was not fun.
No. Are you back, Dan?
Yeah, I think we lost him.
I think Dan got so upset he hung up on that memory.
No! You ruined the podcast. Alright, so I'm assuming that we cut after something. We cut a little bit. I'm assuming that Brian did his damn job and cut the part where Dan hung up during the middle of the story, and no one
did not hang up.
Yeah, I'll make sure
to
edit it out.
We're a professional, and you're going to edit that part that said you're going to edit it out so no one knows, and that we know we're constantly professionals. So, Dan, you were just telling that story and stopped for some reason. Why do you think that's exactly what happened?
Let me see, where was I? When I was a little boy, there was a Walmart near my house, and when I'd go shopping with my parents, since I was a little boy, I hated shopping, and I would go to the video game section and play Thunder on the demo, the PlayStation demo disc. And I would take turns either being Hogan or Goldberg, and this was not and I did not lead a well-lived life. I couldn't figure out how to ever play it, but I was like, oh, it's a wrestling game I don't own. I'll try. And I never could figure it out. And it was years preparing for this podcast where I figured out, oh, it's like a weird Warzone style something or other. These games are fun.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, what if I told you that WCW NWO Thunder is the best representation of late 90s WCW to ever be created?
I would say I believe I know where you're going with this, and I am scratching my chin.
I would say I have no idea, and I would like to hear why.
It is the greatest representation. So, in WCW NWO Thunder, first of all, if you look at the rants, they're stupid, they make no sense. Just like all their promos, they ramble on, it seems like they probably win nothing. Perfect.
A bunch of people going into business for themselves.
Exactly. So, promos down pat. Now, in WCW NWO Thunder, you can also change factions to the forker. The thing was like Horseman, Raven's Flock, the two NWOs, and WCW. You can change those on the fly because, just like in WCW, everyone changed factions every 3 fucking seconds.
Perfect.
Cool. Great. And if you look at the movesets, yeah, most of the moves are kind of the same, especially on the main event here. Yep, exactly. Matches were normally short. There is a run-in button in that game. You press a button, and someone runs in to ruin the match, and the crowd boos.
Okay, yeah, that's what happened in my game. I was Hulk Hogan, I was beating up, I think, Sting, and I was just pressing buttons to see how the hell to play this game, and then all of a sudden, like, Bryan Adams comes out and destroys somebody.
Yep, there's a run-in button. And when you win, garbage is thrown in the ring, matches are short, and because it's WCW and it's this game, all the matches are short, so everyone leaves unsatisfied.
I think it was Bryan Adams, might have been Disciple, I don't know, they kind of look the same. Yeah.
It also has one of the largest rosters, and you can play as a giant ant. Just add, great addition to what's going on. I should also note that replaying this, and I'll post a picture as photographic proof of my amazing achievement. Just like Atari, they're going to say my patch in the mouth. But I beat the entire game with Miss Elizabeth, and I got all 3 championships. It took me 35 minutes.
I didn't know she was such an accomplished wrestler.
She She's an accomplished wrestler. She's the devious wizard.
Yeah. And one of the things about this game that annoyed people is that you can do these tests of strength, and if you get the advantage in a test of strength, it basically just takes the other guy's health bar all the way down to almost nothing.
I didn't use that trick, but yeah, it kind of breaks the game.
So it's just like, I can understand if they had to rush a game out and, you know, Nitro was just not necessarily the most well put together. I mean, we've seen that in the history of video games before, where you just sort of get something out and then it was sort of broken. But then to just re-release it with no fixes,
much
with
like
no
Thunder
changes.
Much like Thunder itself. It's the perfect WCW game. You're proving me right.
Oh my god, yes it is. We're rebooking the show on the fly. Nothing makes sense. Let's just do this again tomorrow and not fix anything. Oh god, it is Thunder.
So they had like a year. They had a year to fix all these issues with Thunder, and they still didn't fix any of them.
Nothing.
Wow.
They added factions and they added more people, and there's more match types and everything, and there's like multi-man matches, and because it's a 2D game, it's incredibly frustrating and awful, and there's like a Royal Rumble mode, it's awful.
That is so WCW. Don't fix any of the underlying issues. Just add new shit on top of it.
Yeah.
Yep. The perfect WCW game. Go in stores now.
I don't believe it is in stores. I don't believe it's in stores. We cannot advertise.
Can it all build house locations? It's even old.
Charlotte, go to your local Circuit City and buy Thunder. WCW.
Yep. Go to your local Game Crazy and pick them. Or else. So yeah,
Kevin Nash will come to your house and fall asleep on your front porch.
Yeah. I enjoyed 30 minutes to beat that game. And I would suggest you give it a shot and win with Elizabeth just like I did.
If you can figure out how to play the game. Because I sure as hell didn't.
You just spam the same move over and over again.
Yeah.
I look at a guy, and it's like up, down, and a thing, and you just keep doing the same thing. You doing the same thing over and over again, or you just press the run-in button, and then you win.
That's what I did with Warzone. I just kept body slamming somebody until I won.
There's tons of fun with Warzone. But, yeah, so that's 2 games, 2 years. Wrestling games, especially on the PlayStation. Not very good.
So there's our opener there. PlayStation kids, get fucked. That's what the wrestling company thought.
Go play
Madden. That's better on the PlayStation.
Game day.
Yeah. Go play the sports games. Wrestling, this isn't for you. Go play real sports.
Game day 98. That was a game.
Game day 99.
Yeah, well, I'm talking, this game came in 98, so you won't be able to get it then. Yes, so that's right. Alright, so, yeah, after those 2 games, there was a, you know, THQ changed it, and then EA took over for making WCW games and came up with WCW Mania, which came out in late 99, August 31st, 1999. And it's one of the few times when a pay-per-view was named after a game rather than the other way around.
This is a real TNA suicide situation. Naming a character after a thing in the video game, not the other way around.
Time to talk about that TNA game.
Oh, man, yeah.
That's ready story for that
mode.
One day.
That's story mode. So I had WCW Mayhem, and it's interesting because I played a lot of WCW Mayhem, but I didn't play for a long time, because this came out just before SmackDown 2, and that was kind of the game that kind of changed it. But I think overall, Mayhem is a good but not great, maybe mediocre is the best way to put it. Not in the IGN way of mediocre. I mean, in the real people way of mediocre, where it's like that. It's good, not great. I found it had kind of a similar play style to, maybe a little bit slower than the SmackDown games, where you had a base attack, a grab button, and a button combination would do the moves. One of the things that I kind of found kind of interesting when going back to it is that the game actually looked pretty good for a PlayStation game in the 90s. I mean, everyone kind of had the same model, which kind of and then morphed and kind of went on to each other, but they all looked great. All the arenas were there. The announcers kind of felt there. So it was a really good feeling WCW game.
Go ahead, because I didn't play it.
I thought, you know, especially, like, the big controversy about this game was that it was the first game after Aki, it was the first WCW game after Aki lost their THQ left and went to WWF. So a lot of people had liked the previous WCW game, and this game felt like a huge disappointment. But if you were a PlayStation kid, you didn't get to play most of those Aki. You only got one of those Aki games, and it wasn't that great. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But Mayhem, you know, felt like, oh, this is great. This is so much better than Thunder. This is so much better than Nitro. So you were kind of just happy with what you got because you didn't have anything better to compare it to. This was, though, the year that WCW hit the iceberg. So there was just a ton of people who weren't really enjoying old WCW so much. Like, when you look at the cover and you see that it looks like something a bird left on my hood, WCW logo, you go, oh boy, this is probably not good. And it's fine. It's fine.
I mean, I played Backstage Assault, and I think it's like the same control scheme, isn't it?
It is not.
No?
It's not the same thing. It was a completely different developer. I used to think that a long time ago as well, but it's a little bit different. But, yeah, I think that overall that game kind of worked well. Like, they had kind of a, I think the roster was really good. They kind of had a lot of details in the characters. Like, I don't even remember going through it now. Like, it's probably the best-looking wrestling game on the PlayStation.
And I think a Mayhem 2 would have been awesome.
Yeah, which was in development.
It was in development, and just WCW went out of business. But
I think that was a sequel of Backstage Assault, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they called it like WCW Wrestling 2. I don't think it was in. I think they had like test screenshots, but there wasn't anything.
Yeah, I remember seeing the test screenshots. They looked pretty good, but that was like late in WCW's lifespan, so it never got made.
It's just when you look at a lot of these wrestling games, the first one is usually the second one's better unless they're really late. So, like, if we would have gotten, like, you know, when we talk about the Octa games, the first Octa game's okay, the second one's better, the third one's better than that one. A Mayhem 2, just focusing on what Mayhem did that was right, probably would have been an excellent game, but this one didn't particularly sell all that well, so they said, well, we need to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that was a bad direction.
Why aren't people buying the game based on our amazing property, WCW,
'99? Yeah,
why? Is that the problem?
Yeah, we're losing $60 million this year. Why aren't people enjoying our video game?
What is the shame? Why
aren't people wanting to relive the Hummer story?
Oh God.
Or that time that Goldberg punched it. At the door.
And his arm exploded.
I can't believe people don't want to relive the magical era of the streak ending by a stun gun.
All the famous moments are in WCW Mayhem in stores now. What I found interesting about WCW Mayhem, one of the funny things was, is they had pay-per-view codes. So for like 2 months, it might have been a month, maybe two, where they would give out pay-per-view codes during the show, and you could enter them in, play the pay-per-views. And it didn't last very long because it's wrestling, and you can't have pay-per-views because wrestlers change. But
yeah, I mean, there's always new wrestlers and everything, so you can't do something like that unless it's for like maybe a month or two after it comes out, the game comes out. It's just too, wrestling changes too much, and that's still a problem today in that there's such a roster overhaul every year that it's hard for game developers to keep up. We have that today still.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things about Mayhem, because if you're a 90s kid, you really remember the 90s, because you remember the 90s. This game was sponsored This game was sponsored by Surge Soft Drink. Surge, the most 90s of soda.
Hey, it's back. Did you hear that Surge is back?
Of course it is. Because people remember the 90s. And if you remember the 90s, then you remember the 90s. Do you remember? Do you? Do you remember Surge?
I do.
Was it just a lot of sugar? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
It was as much caffeine as a Red Bull is now, I think. Before Red Bull was a thing.
Yeah, because I remember Jolt was kind of a... Before I could get Red Bulls, and before they were kind of big, I used to drink Jolt Colas all the time. And they come in those big giant cans that you open, and like all the smoke would come out. I love that.
Does Canada have Mellow Yellow?
Yes, we did have Mellow Yellow.
Okay, it's like Mellow Yellow with more caffeine.
I wrote it down. Also, we don't have to have throwbacks all the time. We've never had Mountain Dew throwback.
Those are good. I love those.
Yeah, I know. Rub it in. But WCW Mayhem, I like it. If you're one of those people who played all the other wrestling games, you want something different, give it a go.
It's fine. It's a fine wrestling game.
It's good. It's clean. It's very clear. The graphics don't really feel very washed out, which I think is a big thing.
You know, I can't see this ever being anyone's favorite game of this era, because you'd have to be kind of crazy if it was, but I would imagine if you're honest with yourself, everyone would go, well, this was fine. This was not a bad game. And if you were the one kid who loved WCW in 99, hey.
Hello?
It's all we had, man. I'm not watching Godfather Mathis. Not fucking worth that. WCW all the way. But you know what? The biggest problem I had with WCW Mayhem was it was boring. It was not. You're right, Dan. It wasn't in your face like the 90s should have been. I want something tough and rude and crude. I want something that's going to skateboard and do a flip. I'm like a teenager, man. Like, I need to know, like.
I wear my hat backwards.
Exactly. Oh, man. I did. I did. Because, you know, that was what cool people did. And I think Fred Durst did it too.
That's when we threw away all of our hats with the adjustable thing and bought our fitteds.
Yep,
Jay-Z. So
we could
wear those on our back.
It was Jay-Z. Jay-Z. Anyway, bad thing spelled.
It's like Tony Hawk's pro wrestler.
Dreams are bullshit. They're boring. What if I told you you could take it? What if I told you the graphics were worse, and the gameplay was worse, and there was way less people in it, and you could play as Ty Dillinger, and you could be taken...
Ty Dillinger?
Ty Dillinger.
He's the wrong Dillinger.
Ty Dillinger. He's in the game. He's the worst time. Whatever. Shut up. All right.
Who's the famous killer Dillinger? Was that? Was that John Dillinger? Yeah, he's in the game, too. Everyone but the actual Doug Dillinger. This is the game.
Hi, Dillinger. He's there. You gotta put a code in, man. So the follow-up to the all-right WCW Mayhem was the all-awful WCW Backstage Assault. Came out in November of 2000, the prime of WCW.
The greatest period of the company.
The greatest representation of WCW in 2000.
Oh, man. This is one of the only... I looked this up. There's only been, like, three wrestling games ever. Three or four. With Sid in them. And this is one of them. So if you are a big Sid fan...
Don't play this game.
This is a must-own because this is... I mean, it's just this. An old WWF LJN game. And the Legends of Wrestling games.
Wow.
Yeah, because Sid always switched companies just before they would finalize rosters. So he would never end up on a game.
That's true. He switched around many times in the 90s. Like, I think his longest run was like a couple year run in WWF.
Yeah, and that's when the games had smaller rosters and he was just not figured in.
Yeah.
And he left before Warzone came out, so he couldn't be in that.
I mean, for me, I played Backstage Assault for the first time the other day. And,
He's still alive. Good job.
Yeah. I mean, I won't knock them for the concept because I think they wanted to go for something new. And that, I mean, brawling backstage was something new and something cool back then, so I could understand them developing a game centered around that. But, I mean, the execution of that idea wasn't that great at all. I mean, I guess you could say it was alright playing it, but then it got too boring and it got too repetitive, and I'm like, well, okay, I mean, it's fun hitting, like, Stevie Ray or Booker T or Kevin Nash with a lead pipe, but how many times can you do that? It's just,
it's a very game repetitive. Mode that they turned into a video game.
Yeah.
It was like, tabled from the game that came out before it. Yeah, most of those backstage arenas came from that there. The only thing they added was a really shitty bird's eye game mode if you were too far away.
Yeah.
And people set things on fire, which I don't think was in the last one, but it could be wrong. I don't know.
There's just no depth to it, and also like some of the move names were weird, like a shoulder tackle is like a shoulder butt. I mean, like I don't know what a shoulder butt is, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but I'm not saying like it's good or anything. It's just like it's representation of WCW in 2000.
I just think this was funny to play because it's like you play as like Ric Flair and he's in his Ric Flair trunks and his Ric Flair boots and his Ric Flair knee pads, and then you're fighting in a boiler room against some guy in jeans. And it's like, yeah, Rick decided to go gear up for this backstage brawl and wear his robe so he could be properly attired to fight in a dingy fashion.
Okay, and I'll say that these character models didn't look anything like the actual wrestlers, because Kenyon was wearing this weird outfit, this weird pink outfit that I've never seen him wear before, and David Flair was dressed like he was Macho Man, like after he got really big and got hair extensions and went around with Medusa and Mona and all those people.
Gorgeous George.
Yeah, Gorgeous George. He had, like, the same white jacket. Like, it was really weird.
It's just, this is just, I mean, you could just feel bad for Electronic Arts because they bought the license to put out games for this wrestling company. Probably at the time that they made the deal, WCW was a thriving concern. And then by the time they get their game out, Mayhem, oh, man, this is it's like the last guy who put something out for Beanie Babies. Oh man, this thing's gonna make money forever. Oh no, it's over. Oh,
everybody moved on to Pokemon.
Actually, it's a pretty good comparison because Time Warner sold itself to AOL at the exact point that AOL was worthless.
Yeah.
So maybe there's that going on there, 90s. But because Mayhem dies so bad, you have to come up with something. And it's like, well, let's do a something different from everything else. Because this is going to die anyway. So let's try something crazy and maybe it'll be successful. And it wasn't.
No.
It absolutely wasn't.
But what if you want to have a match between Vince Russo and Major Guns? How else do you do it? Think about it. Use your brain, man.
Bro, it's just we were trying to do something different, bro, and the ratings went up, bro. Bro.
Do you want to play as Evan Courageous? I do. Hanging out. but seriously, the roster in this game is baffling. Like, maybe it's part of it is that the late WCW roster, 2000 roster, was awful as well. But, oh man, like, this roster. And, like, most of them are locked at first. And it requires you to beat the game, like a billion times to get each wrestler. Like, who's going to do that? Who's going to beat the game once?
I think it says you play the game because I unlocked Kenyon while playing the game. Like, I think if you beat the game, you'll unlock more people.
Just we'll give you some people just for yeah. turning it on.
Yeah.
Hey, like, you turned it on a second time. Here's Jim Duggan as a Canadian.
I think it's both because that WCW 2000 roster was so awful. Plus, what could you do? Who could you use in that game? Because it's just, like a bunch of models who couldn't wrestle and a bunch of guys who were expelled from WWF and they couldn't do anything anymore. And then you had the regular WCW stars who, by 2000 you didn't have a lot of those. You had was Hulk Hogan in the game?
Hulk Hogan was in the game even though he'd left the company by the
way. Yeah, you had Hogan and Flair and I think maybe Luger. When I played it, I played the N64 version and there wasn't a lot of people at first. I think you have to play the game and unlock a lot of people in order to see the full roster.
That's what you want.
This is imagine if TNA put a video game out last year. Or in the last year. It's and imagine you were a TNA fan. And imagine my favorite was Christopher Daniels and my favorite.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. I think we lost Dan again.
Yeah, maybe we did.
Hello?
Stop breaking down, Dan. Yeah. I swear to gosh. I know WCW Backstage Consultant is very hard, and this is going to be one of those weird, weird podcasts. You know what? The game's broken. Why can't the podcast be, too? I appreciate your efforts. Add some realism. Let's make listeners understand how frustrating this game is, how a muddled mess it is. Much like this show.
It's just not my fault. But, okay. Imagine if TNA put a video game out last year. With its depleted roster, even from obviously adjust to the fact that TNA was never as big a deal as WCW, and never had as many stars as WCW. Now imagine that they're putting out a thing last year, and you'd be like, no, I'm not playing as EC3. No, I'm not playing as the Funky Dinosaur. That's dumb. That's what WCW Backstage Assault was. It's like, remember all those guys you liked? Well, most of them are gone now, so the few that are in the game will be just a reminder that you don't get to see them on TV. And everybody else isn't, so good luck playing as Corporal Cajun. Good luck playing as General Rection. Enjoy that.
Even though it's not as good as that recent years, TNA's roster from last year is still way better than WCW's roster here.
Oh, I would disagree, but...
I wouldn't.
At least this game had people that you've heard of. You've heard of Booker T.
Yeah.
You've heard of Sid Vicious? He's a vicious Sid. You've heard of Scott Steiner?
In terms of star power, I would agree. I was thinking more about in-ring kind of stuff.
Yeah, well,
but sure, name power, yeah. This game has it.
But it's so much less than the previous few games.
Yeah.
Why don't you look at those character models and tell me who they are? I bet you can. I bet you $1 million. But you couldn't. You were looking at those faces, man.
This was an ugly game. It was really bad.
They managed to make an uglier game than the game they made the year before, but again, it's not the same person. It's not the same... It's still EA, but it's not the same developer, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. So.
No, it's weird. It's Kodak Interactive, I mean, we've made it, and I don't know what they made. But, yeah, it's... It really wasn't the same team. It might have been the same house, but I don't think it was the same team. Because they were told to basically kind of restart. And, unfortunately, that, much like the game, it was, this was the last WCW game.
It was the same developer, but like you said, it was a different team. Because you can tell that different people made this. Because the people who made Mayhem, they maybe didn't have interesting ideas, but they at least wanted to make a wrestling game that looked like wrestling. This team didn't care about that.
Much like WCW.
The team that made Backstage Assault didn't really care if you wanted to make sure that the people that you like looked like the people you like.
Maybe this is really the best WCW game.
I said, the best representation.
And nobody's there but Lash LaRue, because everybody else... sprained their quadricep.
And also, any of the real wrestlers didn't go to those shows because fuck you.
Yeah, because fuck you.
A buddy of mine went to a WCWO show once, like 97, and like half of people weren't there.
Yeah. Like, if anybody who you wanted to see were not going to go to a house show.
No.
You might be lucky if they could get, like, the D. Malenko level guys, and then, you know, that's all you could get.
And you get, like, Robbie Rage versus Lismark, or something like that.
Yep. So, yeah, looking back, now that we're at the end of WCW's video game reign, what are your guys' memories? What was your favorite WCW game and your least favorite?
We still got to talk about those hockey games for WCW, I think.
Just pretend those don't exist.
If hockey games don't exist, then Mayhem's the best game.
I guess mine would be, I didn't like any of them.
Nothing is not an answer.
I guess.
Mayhem is the one-eyed man in the land of the blind.
Backstage Assault, I could at least play and beat people, so I guess that one.
Oh boy.
You're an insane person. You know what? Dean, you're unfired. Brian, you're picked up.
My podcast.
Because we have to talk about WWF now, and In Your House, which was the first game to come out on the PlayStation. We're kind of back, to the end there of our last podcast, where we went on about the WWF WrestleMania. This was the sequel to it, and it's much worse. But yeah, Brian, you had the game when it came out, so
yeah, I had.
What do you think of it?
I had the PC version, and the best part I remember about this game was that you could put it in a CD player and it would play everybody's music, and I thought that was like the coolest thing because I didn't have a PlayStation back then, so that was like a brand new revelation to me. But in terms of gameplay, I mean. It was a lot like the WrestleMania arcade game. It was kind of cartoony, and there's a lot of stupid stuff, but it was very much made to look kind of like Mortal Kombat, but not really, and with the digitized graphics and everything.
Yeah, much like the last one.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine for what it was. I mean, I didn't think it was, like, great or anything, but the time I played with it wasn't bad. I mean, just kind of cartoony, kind of fits in with what WWF was going with it during that time. Because it would still be like another year before they went into a more grittier kind of direction. But this game wasn't that bad. I mean, it was alright.
The theme song of it was the future of WWF.
Yeah. Thorn in your eye. Yeah.
Everyone get on your feet!
So lame.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a game at all, because this is like happy, shiny 96 WWF. Hey, we're the Hogan era, but we're still like Hogan WWF, but we're the new generation, so it's all still clean and shiny, but with small guys.
I think it was the last game to have an active Ultimate Warrior on the roster, too.
Yes. Yeah this was Ultimate Warrior's game.
Yeah, like, it was just awful. Like, I liked WrestleMania the arcade game for what it was. But this game, like, it had weird settings. Like, you were, like, I think Owen Hart's was in, like, a gold mine. Like, none of the things made any sense.
No.
And they had finishers where you could, like, shoot hand lightning and, like, kill your opponent.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very cartoony. I think whenever you, like, punch somebody really hard, like, things will fly out of them. Like, if you punch the bulldog, like, leashes would fall off. Or if you punched Owen Hart, like, hearts would fall off. Like, it's very, like, cartoony and kind of bizarre, but that was the WWF back then.
One of the things that's funny is that, like, the bullshit of the politics behind that curtain. Triple H is in this game, and Triple H was nothing in 1996, but
no.
You get the three guesses and the first two don't count about why he was in the game.
Shawn Michaels?
Yep. For the same reason Owen Hart's in it, honestly, because Owen Hart didn't really mean a lot in 96 either. So that's Brett playing with the bullshit of the politics behind that.
Yep.
And also their roster sucked. I mean, obviously their roster was terrible in 96, so it just was what it was. But it's funny that, yeah, it's funny that, you know, this is the year Steve Austin debuts, this is the year Mick Foley debuts, and neither one of them are in the video game, because we got to get British Bulldog in there. You know, we got to get Goldust in there. That's more important.
Think about it. Now I can't believe Triple H got in that game over Austin.
I can't.
It's weird.
Think of the development time as well. I mean, he was doing his Steve Austin stuff, but it's still 96. Like,
and Triple H was at WrestleMania that year.
And he fought Warrior.
For 12 seconds.
Yeah, but he was in it.
Yeah.
Steve wasn't. Steve Austin wasn't. Mick Foley hadn't
been in
yet.
Well, yeah, he was. Austin was in WrestleMania. He was with Savio Vega in a strap match.
I thought that was a few months later.
No, that was WrestleMania. Cause I remember because they had that stupid backlot brawl with Goldust and Roddy Piper.
And yeah. I don't think the strap match was at WrestleMania. The strap match was that show where the lights went out.
I think this is like a rematch.
Beware of dog.
Yeah, because maybe it wasn't a strap match, I don't know, but I know they had a match.
He was at Mania, though.
Because the backdrop...
singles match, it says right here.
Yeah.
Huh. I read it on the internet, so it's real.
And Vader's in the game. Vader's the big evil. Big evil fat guy. And this was, I believe, the second video game in America with Vader. First being backstage, the first being Super Brawl, which barely counts. So.
Oh, yeah.
So... Yep. If you were a big fan of the Mastodon, that's the real nickname for Vader, right? The Mastodon. If you were a big fan of him, then this was the game for you.
Vader was in the best wrestling game ever made, so he's fine. He'll be all right.
And Goldust was, like, extra swishy in this game. Because it's 96 Goldust, where he's, you know... Like, modern fans might look at Goldust and you go, oh, he's the weird guy. In 96, 97, it was really over the top. Hey, I'm a gay feller.
He liked movies.
Yeah.
He really liked movies.
Goldust. The Oscars are his big, the Super Bowl for him.
Yeah.
Yep. That was not a good game. Just play WrestleMania.
I kind of think I liked it better than WrestleMania because there was more people to play with.
No, there wasn't. There was the same amount, wasn't there? It was like 8.
Well, I only had 5 in my version.
Yeah, we're talking about the PlayStation version, the real one.
That I didn't have.
Yeah, well, that's not your fault. That's not my fault.
Well, also I liked some of the people more because it was 96 and I liked more of those guys. Like, I liked Vader.
Maybe it has Luger in it.
Yeah, I don't like Luger.
1995 Luger.
I hate Luger.
Failed push Luger with the Allied Powers with the British Bulldog.
Yep.
What a game. Oh, man. Yeah. So many highlights of Triple H pedigreeing people in your house.
Already,
it's so amazing that they thought that would get over, like a guy doing curtsies. Like, oh man, this is going to be the next big heel. He does a curtsy.
He's named after somebody
that no kids have ever heard of.
That was very much a mid-card gimmick. I mean, he wasn't going to get over with that. Really, the only time he got over, when he got over, was with China.
Yep.
That's when he really got over.
Hot take, Triple H has always needed a woman to get him over. Couldn't get over it.
I think he would have gotten over without Stephanie. I think he was that good.
Woman.
Yeah.
He carries her handbags. They emasculate him. Ah, thread goes 27 pages.
Don't use that word, man.
So where are we? Yeah, we finished that pile of shit.
Where's the next one? Where's the next game?
Yeah.
Because it's Warzone.
Oh, I like that game. I'm the only one person who likes Warzone.
Alright, well, you give us a detailed description on Warzone, then.
Well, Warzone is made by Acclaim, again, because Acclaim is the WWF's developer of choice.
Yeah.
And it It is, it debuts a new grappling system that is terrible and would hang around for a long time on into the ECW games, where I have heard it described as you're having to do nuclear launch codes just to do a body slam.
Yeah.
The way it would work is you'd have a list of moves that if you hit pause, you could bring up the move list, and that's real fun for a video game, isn't it, children? When you have to constantly pause to look up what your moves are, and if you're playing against another person, you both got to print them out and keep them on your laps so that you can do anything.
I played the Nintendo 64 version, which is sad because the PlayStation version has like promos that people cut before the matches. So like the one everybody remembers is Ahmed Johnson cutting promos and yelling really loud. I'm like, I couldn't understand a word he said, and so I'm like, please stop yelling at me, Ahmed. I didn't do anything to you. And
like, Shawn Michaels is gonna dance all over your face.
Yeah.
And this is DX Shawn, which was, if you were a fan, that was cool. Which this also had alternate attire.
Yeah.
So you could play as DX Shawn from the Ken Shamrock match, or you could have his red and white and hearts and Heartbreak Kid attire. Or you could play as Mick Foley, or as Mankind, or Cactus Jack, or the Dude Love. All of them were in the game. A Purple Gloves Undertaker, or Black Gloves Undertaker. See, these are all the choices you had.
The roster was good. It was well picked. It wasn't big, but it was well picked.
It was the 97 roster, which was a year a lot of people have a lot of fond memories of, just in general, WWF TV in 97, as the year it got good.
Yeah.
Even if the ratings weren't great, but that was the year WWF finally had good TV. So these are the stars of that year, and they picked the best of the best. There's no weird choices on the roster where you're like, "What, that guy got in?" It's the guys that you would want to be in from a 1997 WWF game. And it's really the best wrestling game with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels and all those guys in their primes. Like, they've been in modern games as, like, you know, unlockable characters, but, you know, when they were on TV as a wrestler in WWF, this was the best game they were ever in, I think. And that's sad in some ways, but it is what it is.
Like, for me, gameplay-wise, I mean, I didn't like it that much, but it was the first game I rented and tried out, and back in that day, it was decent. I mean, it wasn't, like, bad or anything, but looking back now, it was, but...
It's just, that whole gameplay system with, like, the button combinations is so stupid.
It's very outdated now, like, super outdated.
And they didn't tell you how to do the finishers. You had to look that up. You had to figure it out on your own. So by the time I was playing this, I would go and, like, go to Cheat Code Central and print out everybody's finisher and how to do it, and then sit there with a printout in my lap to figure out how to do a dadgum super kick.
Could you, like, do a finisher, like, right at the start of the game, or what? Is there, like, a point
where... They have to be in the red.
Okay.
They're in the orange, I think they could reverse it easily or block it.
Yeah.
If they're in the red, then they were kind of screwed.
Yeah.
I think that's all.
Okay. Yeah.
But
yeah.
And that's so much work having to go in to do, and then at the end of it, you're like, well, you just did a little move, and it's not nearly as by the time you've done all that work to print stuff out, you're expecting this to be amazing, and then it's just a little super kick. You know, it's not even like a really well animated super kick. It's not even a real well animated pedigree.
This was like the first 3D wrestling game, wasn't it? Or that would be like WCW versus the World.
Yeah, this was the first WWF fully 3D.
Yeah. So I don't blame that much for like being weird looking or anything like that, because I think
graphically it looks really good for the
game.
It's like their faces look really, like, they get the faces right. Maybe the bodies kind of look funky, and they're always doing this weird thing with their arms at all times, where they're just sort of like constantly moving them, like they're jogging in an exaggerated way without moving their legs. So that's dumb, but their faces look the same.
I would just imagine somebody looking at like the beta of this or the first trailer for this game thinking it's like super awesome, because I mean even WCW versus the World, it doesn't look I mean, it looks decent, but when you compare this to Warzone, I mean, Warzone looks really, really cool.
Except for the hair.
Yeah.
Everybody's hair is just, like, plastered to their head. So
it was really weird on Brett.
Yeah, it was really weird on, like, Sean and Brett looked retarded. but Steve Austin looks fantastic because the bald guy.
Yeah.
So, and it's got a weird career thing. No, this one is, yeah, this one didn't have the career. Career mode comes next year.
It was a tournament mode, but one of the big things from the game that was big about it was they had the wrestlers doing promos, so you had a rival, so you had a grudge match, and then the wrestler would come on and do a little promo, and then when you lose or won, it would have another promo.
That was in the PlayStation version. I'd never really got to see those until YouTube came out, because I had the Nintendo 64 version, and that couldn't do video that well, so,
This is also the opposite. Like, we made fun of the Nitro and Thunder ones because they had so little, like, amp. But since this is WWF, everything's fucking professional.
Yeah.
So everyone's taking these things kind of seriously.
Yeah.
Even though it's a dumb video game and they probably would rather be taking somas and drinking a bottle of Jack. Like, they still, like, alright, let me get through this. And they give it, like, they give it the oomph for it, because it's a WWF game and that's what people do with WWF projects. And Brett's just serious as shit about everything anyway. So he's like, I am the best there is. And he gives, like, the full, like, he's doing a TV promo for this video game.
I just like the Bulldog one, where it's clear that he's looking at cards that are on the corner of the screen. That's my favorite. You have to watch the other one.
Which, again, is a British Bulldog promo in real life.
It's like that Ryback promo, but like 20 years later, 20 years before.
Oh, where stares at the camera and talks? Enunciates?
Ryback is our modern-day baby voice.
Yeah.
I
don't know. It's not that great. I played its sequel a lot more, which is WWF Attitude, which is the same kind of gameplay system, but just a lot around it. I know, like it's kind of one of those things where if the gameplay was better, this would be one of the best wrestling games when it comes to features. The heck out of everything you wanted to do. The story mode kind of went through where you went from, you know, low end to, you know, doing pay-per-views, things like that. There was tons of modes. You could edit stuff like crazy. They had the full entrances and things like that. No Titantrons, but they had full music. And that was always kind of interesting there, but like we've talked about for the last 10, 15 minutes here, the gameplay, it didn't really work out very well.
I remember the creator wrestler was really in-depth for its time in this game.
Yeah, and that was true for the last game, I think, too, more so for this one, but the WCW games just didn't really have much of a creator player mode, except for Revenge, which we'll still talk about here in a little bit. But like a lot of the WCW games, like they just didn't think creative wrestler was that important or whatever. Whereas like early on with the WWF games, they're like, well, we need to have creative wrestler. I think maybe it's because so many important WWF wrestlers had gone to WCW that they figured, well, let's make some way for them to put them in the game. let's have a creative wrestler mode so you can make a half-ass beat or a half-ass Razor Ramon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was really interesting about WWF Attitude is that their finishing speed was fairly large, but it also not only, well, first off, all the wrestlers had voices, so all their all their grunts and all their talking was done by the wrestlers themselves.
Yeah, that's like when you're in the ring and you punch a guy and he goes, oh, and it's Shawn Michaels going, oh.
Yeah, it's just those little touches that I think are really, really great. And there was a great roster on there, too, but they also added voices for other characters, and they added theme songs and entrances. You could, like, there were characters in there. If you haven't listened to them, I know I created a thread on the FRW board like a year or so ago, but they're all on YouTube. But the original songs that they created, they're all really goofy and weird. There's like one, there's like a governor one, and then there's like a high on drugs one, and then there's like this weird molester character that they created. It's ridiculous.
I remember the ones for the later Acti games, but I forget the ones for this one.
Yeah, the SmackDown games had some really goofy songs, too. I think it was just like a tradition, like WWF, like Vince say, alright, goddammit, make the game, but also put some bullshit in there. Put some funny, silly shit in there.
Yeah.
Because the game, like, all these WWF games had some weird music shit in there, some buried in the code or...
Yeah, those are just things that kind of create the wrestlers. Yeah, I played a lot of it. Because when you're a teenager and you don't have a lot of money, you play what you can. You get a game, you can't just go and buy a new one or buy something for $2 off Steam. You had to play it, so, and it was the best, one of the best games to play there. So,
yeah,
that's all you got. So, I think I'll change again.
Yeah.
One of those days, man.
I guess so.
Podcast that was never meant to be.
Look, I don't know what's happening, but it ain't fair.
You're not fair. I was telling you a story, and you weren't even around to hear it. How my love of WCW. No, it was about attitude.
Feeling defeated now. Because it always happens when I've opened my mouth to say something and then it dies.
It
so it's like it's like it's giving me the cut off.
It knows. And it's time for you to stop. But yeah, attitudes, I don't know. If you can get away from it, the creator wrestler would go too, and you could also go in and you could give them all finishing moves, which I always did, so I just had a wrestler that could do like every single wrestler's finishing moves. So that was fun. And it's all right with different people, but yeah, not a great game. Doesn't really hold up. There's a lot of features to it, though.
I was trying to say this when my Skype cut out. It's like a game where it gets every single detail right and then misses the main point while you're playing a wrestling game, which is to have fun with the gameplay. Like, it's just the core game of this. The core gameplay is so bad that you really gotta root for those details to pull you through. And that works when you've never played anything better. So when you're first playing these games and all you have to compare it to is In Your House, which is, you know, a silly pile of bullshit, this seems okay, even though it's stupid. But once you've played SmackDown or WrestleMania 2000 or No Mercy or Revenge or something like that, you're like, this is retarded. I'm not doing this anymore. Like, why am I hitting left, right, up, down, X, Y, start, select, just to do a souffle? No, I don't want to do that.
Like, my memories of this game is, like, because I had a Dreamcast, and this is, like, the only WWF game for the Dreamcast aside from Royal Rumble, which wasn't that fun, but I don't remember, like, playing it so much as I was really interested in creating people in the creative mode.
Yeah, that was
That was like the big thing. It was like, it wasn't so much about the gameplay, because I played the game, but it wasn't like as fun as going into that mode and just creating people and seeing how they beat up other CPU characters. Like, I was much more interested in that than like actually playing it.
Well, you almost had to with that game.
Yeah, it wasn't that fun. I mean, it's just kind of outdated now. And even back then, it wasn't that interesting compared to like other games we'd see later.
Yeah, as soon as you played something else, this game felt bad.
Yeah.
It just depended on when you played this game. If you got to play it early on, then you were like, oh, this is fantastic. Well, this is good enough for me. It wouldn't go fantastic. You go, oh, there's so much cool stuff in here. This is good for me. And then you play something else, and you're like, oh, boy.
I mean, with the Dreamcast version, I was, like, amazed that you could hear, like, full entrance themes and you could see entrances and all this stuff. It was, like, so cool for me because, I mean, every time I played, like, the N64 game, or, like, Warzone, you'd be like, yeah, but this isn't, like, the true version, like, PlayStation version. When I played the Dreamcast version, this felt like I was actually playing like modern WWF games, so that was really cool.
Yeah, I like that transition.
Yeah.
For that game.
Yeah.
But
not have a Dreamcast.
But how would you like to play this same game, but with a license that even makes less sense for it?
Oh boy.
Would you want to, Dan? Come on, don't you want to?
I got to because I bought it.
ECW Hardcore Revolution was released for the N64 and PlayStation on January 31st, 2000, and its sequel was released 6 months later.
That's the one I have.
PlayStation and Dreamcast, ECW NFC Rules, which is basically the same game, on August 18th, 2000.
There's a few rostered tweaks. But like
same play as Dusty Rhodes in the second one.
Yep,
and
Dusty Rhodes.
I think there was a barbed wire match in the second one. But hey, man, you played it. You tell us what's going on. Tell us why it's great.
Well, I played Anarchy Rules at the time. I played over Hardcore Revolution. Or Hardcore Revolution? Yeah.
Yeah.
I played over that for this podcast. Yeah, but Anarchy Rules is the one I played a lot of.
Yeah. Well, talk about Anarchy Rules. They're pretty much the same game, so.
Yeah, it's the same as Warzone and Attitudes. That's same because what had happened by this point is THQ had left WCW for WWF, so WWF had ditched Acclaim, and then EA had snapped up WCW. So Acclaim goes from making wrestling games for at this point what 10-ish years? 10
yeah,
years by this
around,
point?
Around that time, yeah.
Yeah, they've made wrestling games for 10 years, been a big part of their company, and then all of a sudden now they don't have a license. So they look out and they go, well, who else is out there? Ah, ECW, we'll make your game.
Their TV and show on TNN is great. Let's watch them.
Yeah.
So they make these games, and they basically just make Warzone and Attitude over again, with ECW guys swapped in, and because ECW is grungy, they just make all the character models and all of the arenas look like
crap.
Hellpits. Like just flaming sulfur. Well, they actually do at one point add sulfur pits of fire.
Yeah, I think there was
a fire pit. Yeah.
I think there was an inferno mode. Yeah.
Yep, and they add made up EC things that didn't actually exist in ECW, like Raised in a Cage, which was like imagine a giant UFC cage with no ropes like an ECW, you know, like a UFC thing, but it's like all the way to the rest, like the outside area around the ring, you know, that's how far the cage goes. So it's like a Hell in a Cell mixed with UFC.
I mean, I'm not going to say no to new modes, but it didn't make sense. And it wasn't exactly like Attitude Man. It was slightly faster. Ever so slightly faster. And I can't believe you would ignore that.
And they reused all the same models, and all the same move animations, even when it didn't really make sense. So, like, RVD does D-Lo's Frog Splash. Because they'd already animated that. And he does a Frog Splash. It's the same move, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
So RVD's doing a lowdown, and the Stone Cold Stunner. Hey, Mikey Ripwreck does that, so he'll just do the Stunner. Steve Austin does it.
Yeah.
But I will say there is some. I recommend Anarchy Rules a little bit more than the other one because I think it's got more people in it because it's got Dusty, and hey, that's the first game ever with Dusty.
Yeah,
there's obviously so many, like, you will never see that guy in another wrestling video game in these two games.
Like the Baldies?
Yeah, you're never going to get to play the Baldies in a video game, so you might as well snap that up. Masato Tanaka. And
Jason.
The world's sexiest man. And Francine. You're never going to get to play another game with Francine.
No. I remember renting this game like right around the time it came out, and I like played it for like a few hours. I'm like, okay, first off, I don't know anybody on this roster because I didn't watch ECW when it was on, and second of all, it's like Warzone but with like weapons and stuff and like more hardcore elements. I'm like, not that interesting. And I never touched it again because it's, I don't know. It just felt like Warzone, but with people I didn't know. So I didn't bother. And even to this day, I mean, I guess the consensus is it's not that great.
People didn't like those Warzone, like people didn't like Warzone or Attitude, like that gameplay style, and for them to just redo that over again, and people, some especially ECW fans, were like, all right, we're finally getting an ECW video game. We're the mainstream, because ECW fans never necessarily the most rational people. We'll say, is that fair? So they're like, this sure means that we're gonna pass WCW this year. And, you know, to just get the warmed over WWF game, especially for that audience, it's like, God damn it. This is the biggest betrayal in the history of anything.
Well, at least it's not like a made up version of a remake of Backstage Assault. Because then ECW fans would have been really pissed.
ECW Backstage Assault would have made more sense.
If that's true, but.
Plays Paul Heyman. I think it's the only game
he
plays Paul
Heyman
in.
I guess the big difference is our Hardcore Revolution has Sabu in it, and Anarchy Rules doesn't. Rules has Sandman in it.
Why would they release the game 6 months after the first one?
Money.
Yeah, I guess.
I think it was literally just to take advantage of the fact that they had a little bit different roster.
I think they had a two game deal, and I don't think the first one sold very well, so I think they basically rushed it out a second time and just said, fuck it, you know, we see if you get the deal done.
You say that, but they were going to make a third one, and that became Legends of Wrestling.
Oh, yeah, I think I heard about that.
Like, Legends of Wrestling was, like, they started the development on it as an ECW game, and so when you play, you know, we'll talk about Legends of Wrestling at another point, but when you play a Legends of Wrestling, it has all these animations that are like ECW animations. Like it has Sandman's swinging the cane animation, and it's got you know, Just Incredibles, That's Incredible. You know, it's got all these moves programmed into it. And then they went, oh well, we don't have ECW anymore. Let's replace Just Incredible with Bob Orton.
So now Bob Orton, good replacement.
Yeah.
Is Legends of Wrestling like Heroes of Wrestling? Is that the same thing?
Legends of Wrestling is probably far better than Heroes of Wrestling, which is the crappy pay-per-view.
It has some of the same names.
That's impossible. Nothing is better than Heroes of Wrestling, the greatest wrestling pay-per-view ever made.
The one
as a guy who loved C.W. Anderson, getting to play him in a video game, pretty fun.
Yeah, I don't know. It was fine. It's just if you bought, I got rented it, but if you're gonna spend $60 on it, then oh man.
Yeah, I got it for $9.99.
Yeah, that's fine. Could have got the network for that, but whatever.
Kid Cash in a wrestling game.
Kid Cash is in it.
Yeah, but he's only in one other game. He's in a SmackDown game. So this is one of Kid Cash's two wrestling game appearances.
Which SmackDown is he in?
He had that run in WWF, so it would have been, I think, SmackDown versus Raw 2008 or 2007.
Probably.
I wouldn't play that. That's why. Weird.
Dropping Brain Busters on. They reanimated the Brain Buster just for him.
Weird. All right. So before we talk about the Augie games, there's just one other kind of game around this era that we need to kind of discuss, which is WWF Betrayal, the 2D beat 'em up game for the game White Collar. That is terrific. Basically, the plot line was based on, I think it was based on that Undertaker storyline. So basically, you could choose, I think it was like three wrestlers. I think it was like three or four. It must have been four. It was Taker, Austin, Hunter, and The Rock. So basically, you would play as one character, and then if you had like Stephanie's been kidnapped. And so you'd have to fight through, beat up referees and random people. Because apparently, I guess, you'd have a rival, and so one of them would steal stuff away and have to go and you fight through the wrestlers and everyone else to get them back. And it's just the most ridiculous game.
I like the story.
I don't know if you guys played it, but it's great.
I like the swerve at the end where it turns out Stephanie wasn't even kidnapped. It was like a plot this whole time, I guess, for Triple H to take out your rival or whoever you were playing as or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I think the last battle is like on top of Titan Towers where you beat up Triple H and I guess you win the WWF title like right then and there. Because I think the promise was if you rescue Stephanie, you get a title shot.
So apparently the title shot was you just win the title by beating someone up.
Yeah, on top of a building.
A phone kidnapping.
Yeah. That's how it is in the betrayal world.
Dear Lord. What a game. I don't know. I like that game. It takes 20 minutes to beat.
Yeah, it's fun for what it is. It was a really, it was a fun beat 'em up, but like nothing like exceptional about it, except just kind of the crazy storyline.
Yeah. Anyway, if you haven't heard of that, I would play it. There was a Game Boy Color version of Backstage Assault and Mayhem, but I've never played that. So
no.
Look them up. Do your own homework, people. I'm not here for you. I'm not your mom.
I'm sure they were very much Game Boy ports of games that weren't that good.
No.
Which is weird, because it's very hard to do a Game Boy port of an N64 game. And have it, like...
It stopped people from trying.
Yeah. It's just not fun, probably.
Yeah. Alright, so let me tell you a little story. It's a little company called...
Wait, what?
Whoa.
We still got to talk about Royal Rumble.
You still have to talk about Royal Rumble. That's important.
I don't want to talk about Royal Rumble, but we gotta.
The only youth game we'll talk about today.
Yeah, hockey's the main eventer.
Yeah, so,
this is the women's match, in between the 1999 women's match, in between the main event and the ladder match.
It's a evening game match for the Fire for Wrestling podcast championship. Yeah, so WF Royal Rumble came on arcade, the last arcade game for last arcade wrestling. I think it's the last arcade wrestling game. It might be. Developed by you.
At least with the WWF license, I don't know if they made any after, like in Japan or whatever. Arcade business in Japan is still decent.
Yeah, but it's certain games. I don't think there was, but it could be wrong.
This was around the time that the arcade just died as a thing that Americans.
Yeah.
Google died a couple years before. Like, Mortal Kombat 4 was kind of the last thing where you just like, I don't know, man, I already have something.
I feel like, for me at least, I still went to arcades until the PS2 came out. And then once the PS2 came out, I was like, well, why am I doing this? Why?
Yeah.
Like, once I had a PS2 where I could go to somebody's house with an Xbox and play Halo, it's like, what am I doing putting quarters into this pile of shit? But Royal Rumble, one of those piles, oh shit.
Yeah, it wasn't that fun. I mean, I played a little bit of the arcade version, and I'm like, yeah, this is okay, but I'd rather just play something else.
It's like playing one mode of a SmackDown game.
Yeah.
It's prettier than the PlayStation era SmackDown games. Because
you could only do Royal Rumble, right? There wasn't any other mode.
No, in the arcade, it was just Royal Rumble. The home version, there was a single player and a tag team mode.
Okay.
But it didn't really work very well. The biggest frustration I had
Make a team and then go for the title and then defend.
The only thing that pissed me off with that game is that it didn't even have 30 wrestlers in it. Like, if you're gonna make a Royal Rumble game and have 30 wrestlers in it, just fucking like put 30 wrestlers in it. Also, weirdly enough, eliminations only counted when you did them.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's an arcade game. I guess you're supposed to, you know, kind of stretch it out, but.
The roster's pretty decent. It's basically the No Mercy roster, right?
I think so. It came out in, like, 2000. So it would be about the same roster.
It was, like, half the Attitude Era roster, is what I kind of felt was.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you were in an arcade in that time, and you saw it, you go, oh, a WWF game, I'll go play that, but it's just so limited and so... I can't imagine buying the Dreamcast version of this game. I just can't imagine, because it's so basic. It's so nothing.
Especially compared to Attitude. Yeah, Attitude, because that game Attitude wasn't, like, great, but it had a lot of stuff you can do. Well, Rumble, you can't do anything. It's very plain. Not much to it.
You just think about, like, if you took a kid from 1989, you took him in a time machine, and you said, okay, here's what the arcade games for WWF will be in 2000. His mind would have been blown, because he'd go, oh my god, this looks amazing! I don't know any of these people, so I should write them down and figure this out in advance. But this is amazing! This is the best game I've ever played! But then by the time you actually get there, you're like, oh, this is nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you could have 9 wrestlers at once. That was kind of its big thing.
Oh yeah, because this was like the first the game where you could have more than 4 people. That was like a big deal back then. And even today, we still only have like 6 people in a ring at the same time.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
So we got except for Just Bring It, which had 8.
Okay.
And the reason why Just Bring It had more, it's the same reason with this one, it's that it was using an old shitty engine for a newer game. So it could just beef it up.
Okay.
But the graphics, it basically looks like what Just Bring It would look like on the PS2, which, you know, if you're used to 64 and PlayStation era graphics, you're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, that's what I remember. It looked really good, but it wasn't that fun to play for long periods of time.
And you can argue, well, was it made to be played for long periods of time? Maybe in an arcade where you play it for some quarters.
Yeah, that's
long
true.
It just sort of underscores it how, by this period of time, people weren't interested in that kind of gaming experience. They wanted something a bit more substantial with different moves.
Yeah.
And it might have been spoiled by the next series.
Well, this stuff we're going to talk about the first game before. But, there's a little series called Virtual Pro Wrestling. That's very important. So the Aki Games is one of those things where it has a huge, what's the word for it? You know, there's a lot of people, fan base.
Fanboys, you might say.
Sure. There's a lot of them, it's still being updated today, but it all started with a little game called WCW Versus the World. Or Virtual Pro Wrestling, which came out in September 13th, 1996 in Japan, and February 28th, 1997 here. On the PlayStation. Look at that. Kind of a decent game.
This is our one game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it still had some problems. It didn't really feel like, if you only know like WrestleMania 2000 and or Revenge, it didn't play exactly like that. But it still had the fundamentals there. So you had single button presses for grapple, and you could hold for stronger moves, and then you could just do a button press and a move to kind of work through it that way. The thing with WCW Versus the World, it was a lot. If you remember the last time we were talking about games on the last podcast a few weeks ago, where kind of the roster was kind of mostly wrestlers, was mostly non wrestlers they were advertising. This kind of was a theme for a lot of the WCW games. So you'd have like 5 or 6 WCW wrestlers, and then you'd have a bunch of randos with their names changed. And a lot of that just had to do with it them kind of being ported differently. I'm going to bundle this and WCW Versus the World and WCW and NWA World Tour together just for this discussion, because it's a little bit easier. So do you guys, how much did you guys play those games when they came out?
I had the N64 game. I think that was, which one was that? World Tour? Yeah, I had that one. And, it was fun for what it was, but I felt like I played No Mercy before I played this one, so I played this one and I feel like, well, this is fun. I mean, there's nothing bad about it, but it feels like kind of outdated next to No Mercy and all that, because it did come out years later than than World Tour, but I mean, World Tour for what it is, it's pretty fun. I mean, I didn't have any problems with it.
It's very much the first game of the series.
Yeah.
So if you played the games at the end of the series, you're like, well, this is kind of stinky butt comparative, but it's not. It's great. It's just they refined it. Because that's the thing that people loved about Aki, is that they actually improved their games each year. Yeah. Like, they didn't just put out the same game. They made little tweaks that made it better.
It felt like a start of a series that was going to be able to refine itself more and more by each year. That's what it felt like to me.
The first one, I think the first one was WCW versus the World. And that's the PlayStation one that I had, and it was the only one I had as it was happening. Because I played the 64 games back years later. But it didn't really feel like a WCW game, and it wasn't. It was a port that they just added some WCW guys to and slapped a thing on the box. But it just... They don't really have the rings. They don't really have, like, none of the presentation is very WCWE. Most of the roster is guys from Japan. So if you're a kid, you're just like, well, I don't know who any of these people are. I don't know who these people are supposed to be. You know, let alone if they've had their names changed.
I mean, I get a little bit just because.
But that kind of makes it more fun to go back and play. I'm just so sad right now. But there is a certain replayability that the fact that it's got, you know, like Hayabusa and Takada and all these Japanese names that I know now and that I knew in like 2003-ish or 2004-ish, but I didn't know in 96 when I was actually playing it. So at the time I was like, I don't know who Steve Williams is. Why is he in this game? You know, who is Jumbo Tsuruta? But, you know, I guess that's part of your, you know, these games are probably why there were so many people who ended up getting into Japanese wrestling later, because you kind of got introduced to them and you went, oh, this must be important because it's in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was going to add, it came on one of those things where it didn't really matter about the background because the gameplay was good, which kind of is back what we were saying there. So. But they all kind of improved on it from there when WCW End of Revenge came out in October 26, 1998, and it basically was a more refined version of the games that came out before, but then had that WCW flair. So a lot of the wrestling was still good, but it also had, you know, the arenas didn't have music, but it had the roster in it. You could change stuff around. The moves were there. You know, it had an animated referee you could use. There was the championships and the titles. And it really felt like a good package. And it felt like the engine really fit WCW. Maybe not for the main event wrestlers, but for a lot of the roster, I think that style worked really well for them. So I played, even without having a 64, I played so much NWO Revenge.
The WCW had so many guys who had come through either Mexico or Japan, were doing a lot of these like funky moves that you only really saw in Puro or Lucha. It made sense because they had guys who did that.
This is the one game I haven't played as much as the others. I mean, from what I've seen, it looks really good, and it does look more faithful to WCW than the first two games did, because the first two games looked like they didn't bother at all with the WCW. It felt like they put the WCW name on a game that came out in Japan, and they put in like Sting and Lex Luger. This one actually felt like more like a actual WCW game. And
one of the crippling disappointments, Ric Flair's not in Revenge, and he's basically the only guy from WCW not in.
I think that was because of the lawsuit he had with Bischoff during that time.
But more or less, it's just so, it sucks so much because everyone in WCW was in this game. That's the other thing that made Revenge so much fun, is that they put everybody. They put even lowly Sick Boy. Even, you know, the lowliest WCW people were in Revenge.
And all the Raven's Flock. So you can play into that.
Except the god of WCW, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
So, play Mayhem if you want Ric Flair. Or play World Tour.
Yeah.
Or play Thunder.
Yeah.
play Thunder. Yeah, the only thing that really was missing from Revenge, really, was there wasn't any music. The entrances weren't kind of there, but and the other kind of thing was there, you couldn't really create your own guys. You couldn't really do a lot of editing. You could change, like, attires, kind of, but not really.
You could swap, you could clone guys and then edit them, and then you could get some of the Japanese guys in there that way. You could always clone people and then change stuff.
Yeah.
But they'd also have, like, little, like, they'd have stuff buried in there, so, like, you could go to Lex Luger and, oh, his Stars and Stripes WWF clothes are in there, you could put those on him.
I didn't know that.
Stars and Stripes Lex Luger, or you could flip around and there'd be, like, Macho Man's wacky outfits would be in there for you to put on him, or DDP would have his, like, crazy 95 lime green that you could stick on.
That's cool.
And speaking of DDP, he was kind of the most fun guy to play with because they had 40 different ways to do the diamond cutter. It was, you could throw him up in the air when they ran at you and diamond cutter him. You could diamond cutter him off the turnbuckle. You could diamond cut him every which way but loose.
Oh, that's cool. Because that was kind of the gimmick with the diamond cutter at the time, that he could do it from any position.
Yeah. And this was the first game that ever kind of had that different ways to do the same move.
Yeah. That's cool. I didn't know that.
It had just such a deep... Like, whenever you went to edit, you know, in an Anki game, if you went to create or edit anybody, it took forever because they had so many moves in the game from so many different positions, and a lot of them would just be unused for certain characters. But you could go through and, you know, hey, he does a diamond cutter, he does a... You know, Chris Benoit would do the crippler crossface off the ropes, catch you, and... Great! Fun wrestling.
Yes, I had a lot of fun with Revenge. But, you know, and then that's, once we kind of there, we're talking about the WCW games we already talked about. But I kind of want to talk about Virtual Pro Wrestling 2, which actually came out after WrestleMania 2000, but they were in development around the same time. Did you guys play any Virtual Pro Wrestling 2?
I saw the intro screen yesterday. That's about all I know about it.
Virtual Pro Wrestling 2 is probably the greatest wrestling game ever created. Fire Pro Returns, or D if you want to go with the Dreamcast one. I think those two games are in contention with each other, but for a total package, I might even say Returns, but at the time, Virtual Pro Wrestling 2 was phenomenal. And it came out in Japan, never came out here. It came out in Japan in January 2000. And if you played WrestleMania 2000, you would recognize a lot of the menus and things like that. But one of the really big things about that game was just the way the roster, the attention details, kind of what we talked about. So, you know, had things like Kurgan Hall and, you know, and things like that, like all the major arenas, Tokyo Dome's there. All those there, and it was an All Japan game, so all the All Japan guys were actually there. So unlike before, where there wasn't a ton of full roster, it had actually, I think it had All Japan as well as everyone but New Japan in it.
It did have New Japan in it.
It did, but it didn't. It had the movesets, but they changed the names and a little bit of the attires. They were really easy to switch around. So, you had, like, the roster on there is phenomenal. Everyone's in there that you want. Stan Hansen's in there.
Johnny Ace is there.
Johnny Ace is there, yeah. Vader is in there, of course.
Misawa Kobashi.
Yeah, Misawa Kobashi.
This is the only game with Giant Baba in it, isn't it?
Yep, Giant Baba's in it. And he looks like Giant Baba, that's for sure. it's not the only game with Giant Baba was in. He was in.
Okay.
A lot of games for this nest, but
yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's the game just works so well. I think the style that you can tell is definitely made for this kind of game. It had really, really a really large career mode where it was focused a lot on singles, be kind of go back and forth from tags to singles, which happened. You were watching, you know, Japanese wrestling at the time was a thing, right? People kind of went back and forth. You know, big High and wrestlers were in tag teams all the time. A lot of the presentation stuff was there, so you had a lot of wrestlers with different music. They would show wrestlers in the backstage area before, and they'd kind of come out. They had an announcer announce all the wrestlers, and especially for an N64 game, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
The rosters were there, all the movesets were there. You had all the created wrestlers that you could do and just change. And really, it's such a total package, and you can understand why people would still be playing that now. It's just such a great representation of Japanese wrestling. And if you kind of thought that the Fire Pro Wrestling that are a bit more technical, this may be more your style. It's more arcade. It's more action oriented. So it's really the best game to come out of this there. So take the effort.
And
you know,
how can, if you're an American wrestling fan, video gamer, how is there an easy way to play this other than an emulator?
I mean, not totally. I mean, you can import it, and then you would need something like I have a cheating device that I have that you got to put in.
Use like an Action Replay or Game Shark.
Yeah, exactly. And you could do it that way. But you know, really, your best bet is to, you know, get to find the ROM and just put it on one of the translation patches that has all the name changes, and just kind of go through it. And you could just listen to Stan Hansen's theme all the time, anytime you wanted.
Awesome. They had the full entrances, right? They had like the full theme songs for everybody? Okay, cool.
Not for everyone, but for most people they did. They at least for all the older people.
Okay.
For sure.
So Masao and Kobashi have their themes and all that?
Good one, I remember.
Okay.
Yeah, and the other cool thing about that is that because Aki had made the game and they made all those models, that when it came time to make the other video games, the models, they just put all that stuff in there. So you could, you know, even if you were playing the Mercy or something, Stan Hansen's face is in the game for the creator models because they just put all that stuff in there. Just make an easy Misawa or an easy Kobashi or an easy Giant Baba or a Kawada or whatever, mm-hmm. and they're all in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great game. And it fits the license perfectly. It was, you know, developed with care. Unlike the next games on our list, guys, we probably talked about at the same time. More so, No Mercy than WrestleMania 2000. But those are kind of the big two that everyone kind of remembers. They were basically after a long time of having really, really bad games, or not great games when it came to Warzone and things like that. WrestleMania 2000 finally came out in late 1999, and a lot of people that was outside, you know, so for WF, it was one of their first time to get a hold of that Aki engine. Nothing really changed too much from Revenge, but they tried to add a little bit kind of flair to it. Anything like the career mode, things like that, where I was just talking about Virtual Pro, it was basically a stripped down version of that. So you had kind of the same thing with the career mode. It had all the arenas, things like that. But you guys probably played a lot more of those than I would have. So what did I know Brian, you probably played them the most. So what did you what were your memories of 2000 and No Mercy?
Well, No Mercy is my favorite wrestling game ever. Because I think it's more about that 2000 was such a great year for the WWF in terms of storylines and the roster and everything. So
sure.
I remember that being like my favorite thing about the game, was just being able to play as all my favorite wrestlers, because this was like right around the time that I got into wrestling. And I think No Mercy was the first game I played. I think I played WrestleMania 2000 a little bit later. But I just love No Mercy because it was a fun game to play. I mean, I know you played Virtual Pro Wrestling too, and that was probably the game it was based out of. No Mercy.
They were developing on the same time. Actually, 2000 came out before Virtual Pro 2 did.
Okay.
But Virtual Pro 64 was out before that. But they were developed in tandem, from what I can tell.
Okay. But yeah. I know a lot of people don't like the SmackDown Mall because it was kind of like, I think in Japan, the Japanese version, everything was unlocked already, but this one in the US, you had to like play a bunch of modes and unlock a bunch of money by everybody, like Ken Shamrock and Shawn Michaels and all the older wrestlers. But I liked unlocking everybody. I liked the story mode, I think, more than anything else.
How?
Because it was fun. It was something you didn't see in other WWF games. I mean, today it's kind of outdated, and especially like the dialogue that you see before the matches and all that, but it was just fun being able to go through every title and seeing all these different scenarios and sometimes losing and then getting to go to the next part of the game. And you know, it's just very fun for me to play, because I remember like one of my best memories is like playing with European title mode, and like the first match it's like you get title shot, and it's like you have to be like really, really good in order to beat I think you had to beat Eddie Guerrero to win the European title, and most of the time I would lose, but one time I actually won, and I'm like, yeah, I can see what happens after this. And I think it's like you partner up with Shane McMahon or something, and you help him beat up people. The story mode was interesting in that way.
It was like an
arching kind of storyline. Like if you lost, the story would still continue, but if you won, you would continue on anyway.
It would go into a branch in a different path.
Yeah, branches. That's what I was going for. It would branch off in different areas.
And I always loved how much weird stuff you could find just by playing around with it. Like, if you like look at some garbage like page 7 wrestler, because they had different pages. And like obviously page 1 is the main eventers and so on. So once you get down to like page 6, ooh boy, like this is on WrestleMania 2000, that's like too cool before they got their gimmick. You know, when it was just like them in yellow tights. But sometimes you can get down there at the bottom and like hit one of the yellow C buttons, and then there's a different wrestler tucked behind there somewhere. You didn't see that coming, did you?
Yeah, like if you pick the Godfather and you press like one of the C buttons, it'd be a good father. Or I think it was vice versa by then, but yeah.
Yeah, I think on No Mercy, and it was one of those where it was like I think Andre and Jerry Lawler were together because they were the olders.
Oh, guys. Yeah.
Those were the Now, I just want to basically explain myself to you on here. I think that No Mercy is a bad WWF game. I think it's a bad, it's not a good, it's a lazy not saying, the gameplay is great. I've talked, and that's one of the reasons why I want to talk about Versus Wrestling 2 first, is I love the gameplay in those games. I think they work really well. I don't think they would, I think a lot of people say, like, we'll just make this game in 2015. I don't think it really worked that way. Just because of the way they are. And I think there's a lot of care in the animations, but I just think it's not a good WF game, because that style just didn't work for it. You can add a weapon and put in a ladder match in these kind of games, but it's still a pure style. Like, it's not a WF style. And I think all the stuff around it wasn't great. So, yeah, the wrestling fun. And if you're just playing with friends and stuff, yeah, you're going to have a blast. I had a blast playing those too, but, I mean, there's problematic stuff to be saying with SmackDown Mall to unlock stuff. There was other ways to unlock stuff. The story mode, though the branding stuff sounds great, the problem with it was, first of all, way too many handicap matches.
If you're saying that it wasn't a good representation of WWF, that was WWF in 2000. That was handicap central. WWF TV in 2000, it was the land of the handicap match. So they're just giving you the TV.
Also, I shouldn't have to lose on purpose and just stand there to get a certain thing that I want to unlock to go a certain way.
I think you're thinking about that wrong, though, aren't you? Because it's more like, it's not like, sit down there with a piece of paper trying to unlock everything. It's like, go with how it goes.
Yeah, until you need to unlock Shawn Michaels, you need to unlock whoever, and the only way to do it is to win a handicap match and lose in a couple, and lose and win in certain amount.
What life takes you? Right. Zen Buddhist, Zen Cohen.
Yeah, that's fun for a while, but I want to unlock Shawn Michaels, and I need to go and figure out how I need to lose one match or win the other. I do admit I used to like some of those matches were like in that game, especially in story mode, were just giant fuck yous. But I was like to play his Undertaker and go into wings mode, and then you hear Undertaker talk about, oh, I smack your puppies out, or whatever. And you just feel like Undertaker or Austin fighting a bunch of women.
Undertaker versus Mae Young.
I think you might have a point there, but I bought this game secondhand, and everything had been unlocked before I played anything. So I don't really understand. I don't understand how annoying it was to unlock all these people, because when I put it in, everything was unlocked. I just played it, and I went with the currents of how the stories went. So maybe that's how you need to do it. Let somebody else beat it for you, and then play it.
One of my favorite things to do was like go into the edit mode and like completely change everybody, and then play the story mode and like see who comes out and challenges, or who you wind up facing in story mode.
What do you mean?
Like, if I completely edited a character, like if I took like Scotty to Hottie and like completely edited him into like Randy Orton, it would be interesting to see where he turns up in that game, or just anybody else, like just anybody you can, because that was like one of my favorite things about No Mercy was like the edit mode where you can like completely edit up people, like you can even change their name and stuff.
And that's why that game lived. That's why that game's lived on and Revenge has, because No Mercy is so much more customized. By the time they got to that, No Mercy and WrestleMania 2000 too. There's so much to customize that you can keep updating. There's people who still play those games, and like they'll make game saves, because obviously it was before the online era. They'll make game saves and send you like game data or whatever for you to put on your system, and then have like modern wrestlers.
Okay. I remember the hacks. There was like hacks. Even like I remember in, like 2002. Even like then, there was like I remember getting like an RA hack and having like you play as Mojo and Punk. I was like, that's awesome.
But I used to do it the low-tech way, where I would just print out, like, I create a player with all of their moveset and just sit there copying over off of the printout sheet.
I think there are still hacks and stuff to this day with current roster people. Yeah.
People will be playing No Mercy for a long while still.
Yeah.
It's just that, it's because I think this gets back to what Brad said, which I do kind of agree with him about, it's not really a WWF game. It's an Aki game with WWF roster.
Yep.
And because of that, it's made it last longer, because it doesn't feel tied to WWF in 2000, so people can always feel like they can update it and change people around and keep playing it.
I will say that this doesn't feel like a WWF game. I think SmackDown captured that better.
Yep.
But, I mean, yeah, because I played WrestleMania 2000 for a little bit for the first time in, like, forever this week, and I was playing as Steve Austin, and he was, like, all rolling around like he was a Japanese wrestler or a cruiserweight or something. It's like, yeah, Steve Austin didn't roll around like this. I mean, yeah, it's very much a Japanese game that they took, and they put in WWF stuff, and it kind of seems like a WWF game, but it's really not.
Now,
it's pretty much a port of virtual pro wrestling or whatever.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but WrestleMania 2000 was the first ever wrestling game with a full entrance in America, with the music and everything.
I think so. When did SmackDown come out?
SmackDown didn't. That you were walking in front
of a giant.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, Attitude had the music and things like that. Like, Attitude didn't have video, but it had full entrances.
Okay. Because that was a huge deal for me playing WrestleMania 2000. I was like, oh my gosh, it's the old Undertaker with the music, and he's got his robe on, and he's the Undertaker. It's not Biker or Taker. Okay.
Which they cut in No Mercy for some reason.
Yeah.
Big
was cut from No Mercy 2.
Motorcycle. Because they couldn't figure that out either for SmackDown 2. Like, they weren't able to put him on his motorcycle until PlayStation 2 era.
Okay, he was in his motorcycle on SmackDown 2.
No, he was walking in front of a thing.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, he was just walking
making
in front of a screen. And SmackDown 2, they didn't even have music. They just played the SmackDown theme.
Yeah, they did that a lot.
and he's just walking in front of that in his shorts, his jeans and his jean jacket, his jean vest.
God, that was a bad look.
The most interesting thing I found out about No Mercy was that they cut out Big Show because I think they sent him back to OVW to lose weight.
And they replaced him in the storyline
with Steven Richards. Yeah, that was the creepiest thing, because if you chose Triple H for the WWF title mode, it would be Steven Richards as champion. I'm like, that's weird.
And if you picked one of the challengers, if you picked like The Rock or something, when you go to have the Four Corners match, there's Stevie Richards and Shane McMahon.
Shane McMahon was managing him?
I believe so. I mean, I know he was in the Big Show spot in the match.
Yeah. Because I know Shane McMahon managed Big Show at the time, so
yeah, I know that makes sense. I know he did in real life, but I'm trying to remember if in the video game they had the managers there.
I think so, yeah.
In one of them they did. I forget which one it is,
though. And then when WrestleMania 2000 had Jeff Jarrett in it, if you were a Jeff Jarrett fan.
Yeah, I remember that.
If one does exist.
So, that was a chance to play as a Double J. And hit people with guitars.
And the only other thing I remember is, like, in edit mode, if you take off Kane's mask, he looks all scary.
I remember doing that.
It was a way better payoff than when Kane actually did a mask.
Why? You don't like weird, smudgy dirt and patchy hair?
No.
That suddenly disappears the next week.
Yeah. No, that was stupid.
The masking first part was kind of shitty, but I thought the character could be super crazy and evil. I thought that was a decent reason. Even if it wasn't that great, I liked the idea.
I liked the idea, but the execution wasn't that well done.
They gave him a reason to set JR on fire.
Yeah.
All Vince wanted.
Pretty much.
I thought that was a good... I mean, this isn't a discussion about 2004 or 2003 ever, WWE, but at the time, and people may not realize this, Kane had gotten so stale as the smiley Big Show type babyface.
Yeah.
Like, they turned him into, like, where he had become, like, the reformed monster, and that was fine for a few years, but by that point, he had just lost so much of what, you know... of, like, Kane as a monster, so it was a good way of, like, rebooting him as a monster.
Mm-hmm. It's true, but I think there should have been a better payoff, because all these years, they talked about how, Kane's burnt, have you seen his face? He's all burnt up, and then he had masks, and he has, like, oil on his face, and, like, he's half bald, and it's like, that's not that scary.
Yeah.
And then the next week, he's bald.
It's one of those things where you put him in a mask for a reason, because if you take his mask off, he's not really burned.
Yeah. That's
the whole
gimmick
falls apart.
That's where I thought the payoff absolutely sucked, because it was in complete contradiction to what everybody else said all those years before.
They put it in these video games where it's like, oh man, he's screwed up looking.
So
that's No Mercy. Any final thoughts on that before we wrap everything up?
I just think you haven't lived until you've done a Kobashi half Nelson suplex to Triple H.
Beating up Triple H.
So you've hit him with a burning hammer and driven him into the dirt. You just haven't lived. That's the thing we didn't mention. No Mercy was the first game where you could have multiple different finishers. Where you could have, like, this is your finish, like, you have a running finisher, or you have a you could have a finisher for each part. Like, if you're behind him, this is your finisher. If you're in front of him, this is your finisher. If you're on the turnbuckle, this is your finisher. So you had so much more room to do, like, you know, in Japan especially, everybody has three or four moves they might win a match with, and you could do that. And... burning hammer.
Yeah, my just final thoughts on the game are that even though it's not like a real WWF game, I mean, this was the first game where I had exposure to the Aki system, and playing this game was just really, really fun, and that's probably the most important thing about this game is that it's fun. I mean, and it's the best representation of WWF at the time with the roster and everything, and this is a fun childhood memory kind of game. I still play it, like, years later. I still play it right now. And I think that's, like, the best, it's probably my favorite, wrestling video game of all time. I kind of wish that the current kind of games would kind of emulate this kind of gameplay, but I can understand why they wouldn't.
Every time somebody makes a new video game, wrestling video game, they go, well, you know, we're huge fans of the Aki system, so we're going to base our gameplay on Aki. Like, it became this thing where it's like, everybody, like, it had such a great reputation and had so much affection from hardcore video gamers and wrestling gamers that it's like, if you're making a new wrestling game, you got to name check Aki. Even if you don't ever give anyone anything like Aki, but you've got to at least say, well, you know, we're huge fans of that Aki game, so we're going to, you know, base our gameplay on it, and then we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and then we never deliver, but it's still a thing where if you tell people, oh, yeah, this is based on the Aki engine, people lose their shit and go, oh, boy, got to give this a try.
Yeah, it's one thing there. I think it'd be hard. I think those games would be kind of hard to make in 2015, but yeah, I certainly understand. They're good, they're fun, and there's lots of reasons why people like them. So. And I do, too. I played Virtual Pro Wrestling, like, all weekend, like, a few months ago. I still love it there. But yeah, that's basically it. That's our history of that for now. Now, next time, we're going to go into the full SmackDown series, including, and then some other things. So we have the Day of Reckoning and Legends of Wrestling Games, which I know you guys want to talk about. And later this month, too, I am going to get my hands on a copy of Cookie 15. I actually play a little bit already, so I have a bit of an idea, but we'll kind of get into the full discussion there. Hint, it's basically the same game. So if you don't like it, you're not going to like this one. But there are some decent changes.
And we got a big episode on wrestling themes coming up at some point down the line.
Yeah,
I'm really excited for that one.
Yeah, I think we'll do that next week, probably. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. I think that's coming up soon.
It will be a mystery, you know.
Yeah.
What's in that door? Like, you know, who's in the limousine? This is our who's in the limousine moment.
Who is driving the Humvee?
Yeah, but it'll be a better payoff than that.
It's Disco Inferno.
Yeah.
Alright, we've already said how stupid we all are. Alright, so yeah, that's basically it for now, but we will see you once again next week, as long as Dan can keep his connection, so we'll see how that goes.
You know what?
I do know what. I was here for it.
You know what?
We'll leave it at that. So, Brad R. here for Brian Rhodes and Dan Ford. We'll see you later.
Bye!